I guess with this coming Thursday, it will officially, as it always does every year, kick off the Christmas season. And we'll all find ourselves very busy, as we usually are, throughout the coming weeks. So before we all get involved in that, I thought maybe this morning some humor might be in place, just to get us in the spirit of things, okay? So here goes. What did the turkey say to the computer? Google, Google, Google. What do you call a turkey the day after Thanksgiving? Lucky. You know, Joyce told me to stop with these stupid Thanksgiving jokes. She said, don't do it. I told her, okay, but I wouldn't be able to quit cold turkey. Okay, getting serious now. If you were thinking that this morning's message might have something to do with Thanksgiving, by now you've probably figured that you were right. Because looking back at this past year, we have a whole lot to be thankful for. Last spring, way back last spring, if you recall, during Holy Week, we had a full schedule of services. And what was great about that was that every service, we had great attendance. That was much to be thankful for. And then a few months later, we got busy and we put together a dedicated history room and a display cabinet, which was organized to show how God has used this church and this community since the middle of about the 19th century. And we also had an all-time record turnout at this summer Strawberry Festival. It was actually a bit overwhelming, but overwhelming is good in that respect. Also, our first multi-church summer picnic was a success, and hopefully this will become something that we can all look forward to in the summers to come from here on. And then this fall we tried something new with a community resource outreach event, which needs some work, but is worth trying again next year. And also, a much needed repair and rebuilding of the parsonage kitchen was done. But most importantly, above everything else, we've seen some welcome growth in our Sunday worship here, with new faces that thankfully have become regular faces. And if I were giving a State of the Union address, I would have to say that we're in good shape. We have much to be thankful for. Our union with God, our Creator, is strong. And God continues to bless us in many ways. Jesus Christ remains the head of this church and always will be. And for this, most of all, we are thankful. So Getting into the season, we want to talk about, or I want to talk a little bit about Thanksgiving. And I did some research on it, and there are some aspects of Thanksgiving that some of us may or may not know. But the establishment of what we know as Thanksgiving actually came about and was formalized as a result of a decree made by President Lincoln in October of 1863. And it was known as the Thanksgiving Proclamation following the end of the Civil War. And he did that because there was a Thanksgiving type of event that was being observed in different parts of the country as it existed in that part of the, in that time of our history, but not unified. So he thought that following the divisions of the Civil War, that this would be something that could be done that would unify the country, and that was its purpose. But way before that, we need to look to the people who were seeking to worship God free from the dictates and the traditions of the Roman Church and also the Church of England, which, depending on the preference of the king or queen of England in any given time, might pretty much be the same. So in September of 1620, a ship carrying 102 persons departed from England. And then 66 days later, that ship, which we all know was called the Mayflower, found its way into the Massachusetts Bay, where these pilgrims, as they were come to be called, sought to establish themselves. But only half of the 102 passengers survived through to the next spring because of sickness, the brutal winter conditions, and lack of food and provisions. But with the help of the local Native American people, these pilgrims grew a successful corn crop that following summer. And then they celebrated a harvest meal in November of 1621. And while they had much to be thankful, this first Thanksgiving meal was nowhere near as bountiful as American folklore portrays with the big cornucopia and all that. Actually, it was a lot more than they'd had the year before. But still they were thankful. But it certainly wasn't a lavish assortment of foods which we might picture in keeping up with what we now experience at our own Thanksgiving tables. And actually, in fact, over the past centuries, just has been done with the birth of Jesus and his resurrection, secular influences have all but eliminated the meaning of the original Thanksgiving observance. You see, it's no longer about giving thanks to God for all that he provides us, keeping in mind that we would have nothing at all if God did not bless each of us with the means, with the opportunities, and the abilities to acquire what we have. Instead, it's about indulgence and the traditional football game following the big dinner. This is far removed from what Scripture tells us in James chapter 1 and verse 17. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God doesn't change. James makes it clear where all the things that are good have come from. Everything that is good is given to us by God. Even things we don't immediately recognize as being good. At times, and we've experienced this, at times God does send challenges our way, which we initially view as anything but being good. But God provides these challenges to be purposeful in that they are intended to draw out our graces, but not our weaknesses. And we who are in Christ will for sure experience trials in our lives. Most of us already have, and will continue to. And just like those pilgrims who endured the severe hardship that first winter in Plymouth, here's something to think about. The highest service, the best thing that we could do on earth is to bring glory to God. That's what we're supposed to do. And sometimes that glory to God includes our triumph over the trials that we encounter. And as if every good gift is from God, our eternal life with God our Creator, which we are promised as a result of receiving His grace through accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, is without question the greatest gift of all. One which simply saying, "Thank you, Jesus," is grossly inadequate. Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 19 and 20 describes how we actually should be expressing our gratitude every day. It says this: speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now these expressions of thanksgiving are not reserved only for one day, as many people think. Not just on Sunday, or once a year on a designated day. We are to be giving thanks always for all things unto God. We are to be giving thanks always for all things unto God. That means every day, and often each day. The last book of our Bible, Revelation, which most of us find confusing and very dark, in chapter 4 and verse 11 reminds us why we are to be giving thanks always for all things unto God. And it says this: "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Now this passage from Revelation speaks about John's vision of God's throne, where 24 elders, it said, worshiped the eternal God and cast their crowns before his throne. Now, some theologians believe that these 24 elders are redeemed saints who they've not only made it to heaven, but they've been given crowns as rewards for their earthly endeavors. But note that even though they've made it to heaven, they still cast their crowns before the throne, and they continue to praise God, their Creator. returning to God their reward of crowns in recognition of the fact that it was God who first made them and then blessed them and then empowered each with the ability to earn that reward. So how much more apparent should it be that while we're still here on earth in our flesh and blood bodies, that we should give God all of the glory and thanksgiving for the many, many blessings he bestows upon every one of us, whether we recognize those blessings or not, or some who even willfully deny receiving any blessings from God at all. Now, in regards to that, Paul speaks to those who deny good things as blessings from God. God's word revealed through the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1 and verses 21 and 22 says this, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." I'm sorry to be of the opinion that as they sit down at their Thanksgiving tables later this week, far too many of our fellow Americans don't believe in God. And therefore, they don't glorify God. You see, they see themselves as the only source of whatever level of prosperity they have achieved, whereby, as Paul says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And you may have heard people say, "I accomplished this all on my own. Look what I did." Be assured that as long as whatever they accomplished, whatever that accomplishment might have been, as long as it was something good, they didn't do it on their own. God had his finger in it somehow. And as we look around the world these days, you know, what do we see? We see an overwhelming abundance of ungratefulness on display everywhere. And unfortunately, I've seen the ungrateful attitude of grandchildren in our own family. Not only ungrateful, but openly unsatisfied with birthday and Christmas gifts that they were given. We witness the attitude of entitlement by many who not only expect, but they demand things be given to them, which not only do not deserve, but for which they are not the least bit grateful to receive. We see the trend of professional athletes expressing their ungratefulness to God for being born in a country where the opportunity existed for them to become millionaires that would never be possible anywhere else. And they're also seemingly ungrateful for the God-given talents that they have, that they were given. Our culture has come to take everything for granted and to expect everything desired. Being thankful for what they have is no longer considered because what they have is no longer considered sufficient. Now, the Bible tells us that there was once a people with a very similar outlook. And they were the Israelites after being freed from their bondage in Egypt. And in the book of Exodus, it tells us that God remembered his people and chose Moses to be his servant to free the Israelites from slavery. And with the power of God behind him, Moses prevailed over the will of the Pharaoh, and God's chosen people were set free. Now, one would think that if ever there was anything to be thankful for, this would qualify. But instead of expressing their thanks to God, for those of you who have read Exodus, what did they do? They complained to Moses. And they complained often. When they were first being pursued by the Pharaoh and all his army, the Israelites came to the Red Sea, where it seemed as though they were a corner. They had the Pharaoh and all his army coming up behind them, and there they were at the Red Sea. And Exodus chapter 14:11 says, "And they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness?" See, just prior to that, for years and years, here they were slaves in Egypt, complaining about that. Moses rises up and with help from God, gets them out of there, gets them free. And bear in mind that while that was going on, there were these plagues, and they witnessed all of this. They saw the power of God, but it didn't mean anything to them. They had no faith. They had not yet developed any faith. So this was their attitude. But God provided an escape route. And as, again, for those who have read Exodus, as Paul Harvey said, you know the rest of the story. But next it was the bitter water that they complained about. And what did God do? He made the bitter water sweet to drink. And then came the issue of food to sustain them along their journey. And then they complained about what they would eat. So God provided quails for meat and manna as bread. But on top of all of their complaining also came their disobedience to God. So not only were they complaining about everything, they also took to disobeying God, who by his power, they were released from slavery. And it was God who was sustaining them while on their way to a land of milk and honey, which God had promised them. So, you know, were they thankful? Not hardly. Were they ungrateful? Certainly seemed that way. And this seems a lot like how things are presently all around us. People are never satisfied. They're constantly complaining, always wanting and expecting more. There's no exchange or little exchange of expression of gratitude or thanks. So many have so much to give praise and thanks to God, if only they could unplug themselves from the world that is constantly telling everyone that they need more, that they need bigger, they need better. They need to be grateful for the possessions that they already have. What we should be seeking, and what these people should be seeking in particular, rather than more, bigger, and better, is what Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. And it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You see, that's what those pilgrims back in 1620 were seeking. They were seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. They were wanting the good stuff that lasts forever, not the things of the earth that are temporary and turn to dust. Contained within our scripture reading this morning was this: enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. And while we are yet to enter into his gates and into his courts, right now is the time to be thankful unto him and to bless his name, because none of us are guaranteed the opportunity to be thankful and to be able to bless his name tomorrow. There's no guarantees. Now is the time, and here's why. Because we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. Peter calls us that in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. And then he goes on to tell us this in the same passage: ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Above everything else that we are to be thankful for as we sit down at our tables this coming Thursday, above anything else that we might be thankful for, this is what we should be thankful for: that each of us were called by God out of darkness so that we could see Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who is that marvelous light. Now I'll finish this message by reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 18 to 24. If you want to follow along, that's fine. I'm going to read it. It says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearances of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it." May you have a blessed Thanksgiving, and may you be mindful of what it is that you are to be thankful for. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Count your blessings.
Father, we rejoice in your goodness and in your generosity. Lord, teach us to give thanks in all circumstances, trusting that your presence sustains us through both good and difficult times. As we celebrate this Thanksgiving, may our hearts be filled with gratitude for your grace, and may we find comfort in knowing we are always in your care. We ask this in the name that is above all names, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.